This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast, episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rip. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready. I feel like the answer's staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready. All right, and welcome back to another episode of the What is TWS podcast. As always, I am your boy, J. Flan, representing the White Pants Society. And I must thank you, first and foremost, for taking whatever time out of your day to stop and spend some time with me, have this one-sided conversation that you somehow feel a part of. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly appreciate it. So thank you very much. Let's get started. What am I sipping tonight? So I've decided that I'm going to do this thing. I remember like back in, middle school or whatever. Not middle school because I wore uniforms, but maybe high school. It was a thing to like, how long could you go without repeating outfits or something like that? I'm going, how long can I go without drinking the same tea? So I've been announcing like what I'm drinking every episode since I started the video. And so far, I have not repeated the tea, be it hot, iced, the sparkling, whatever. Haven't repeated the tea. So I'm back to iced this week, but this is the Tiesta tea. Fruity Pebbles. I don't think that's what it's called anymore, but that's what it was called when I bought it. Good start. Essentially, it's a strawberry pineapple green tea. Really good. Tastes, smells exactly like Fruity Pebbles. I tell people it tastes like Fruity Pebbles, but I don't put any sweetener in most of my tea, so I'm sure to them it does not taste like Fruity Pebbles. But it's supposed to help like slenderize you or work with appetite suppression. And so, yeah, in my situation, something's got to give. I looked at myself in the mirror without a shirt on the other day, and I almost looked pregnant.
Out of peppy!
I would hope so. But, yeah, so something's got to change, man. Something's got to change. I gotta get out of this, and I'm going to maybe Tiesta tea, Fruity Pebbles to help. But speaking of situations where I am the father, the Chef Elise report this week. Not a whole lot to report. This is our off week and it was no soccer thanks to spring break. She did do a soccer camp for most of spring break. So I hope she enjoyed that. I talked to her a little bit and I heard that she enjoyed it. But, you know, kids, you never know. I did get a call from mom about like behavior during the whole spring break thing, her being home. I guess, you know, soccer camp was only in the mornings and afternoons. She was basically home all day with her mom while her mom worked. And there were some issues. The consensus is that she was hangry. She was hungry and tired. And that's probably where the attitude came from. I don't know. When I got the call, I could hear Elise like going off in the background. And she said those words that just like set all parents off, they really fuck a parent up. She said, but I don't want to. And man, like now that I'm a parent, like I understand it, like the natural reaction, the instinctual reaction to hearing those words is pretty violent and vulgar. It's like, who the fuck cares what you want to do, you know? Cause as an adult, like you think, but I don't want to do it like every 5 minutes, but it's, you know, it's irrelevant. I know I don't want to do it, but I got to do it. And that's just something that you understand. So you hear a kid like say, but I don't want to. So like what you let that come out your mouth? Like, what's that supposed to mean? So yeah, but you kind of understand. You understand that there's so much in life that you don't want to do. And it does take some time to reach that point where you understand that not wanting to do something has nothing to do with the necessity to do it. But yeah, you know, so I got the kind of response to that. And I get the benefit of like being on the other side of the phone, not being there, not having had to deal with whatever led up to I'm gonna call, you know, I'm gonna call my ex-husband to, I'm gonna call dad to sort you out, kind of thing. So I get to be level-headed about it, and you know, and I don't know, approach it from the outside looking at, you know, just again, she's my daughter, so I know like she's gonna test boundaries. She's gonna try things out. She thinks she's smarter than you already, and so like negotiating with her or talking to her is just not the way to go. That reinforces the idea that she's on the same intellectual level with you. If you're going to have a conversation with her, then that's going to show her that I got a fighting chance in this. If I just find the right words or the right argument, I can change the outcome of this situation. And I spent like years of my life like trying to change the outcome. And it took a while for me to realize that like that just wasn't going to happen. And it would have been better if somebody just not entertained me with the conversation. But yeah, I get the chance to not be in the middle of it. She and I did have a little skirmish a few weeks ago when I had her. Because I think that, you know, she doesn't do these things with me. And that's probably because we just don't have the time. Like, we're not together long enough to get on each other's nerves to the point that, like, shit is going to pop off. Like, most of the stuff she does when she's here, I can laugh it off. It's not that big of a deal. And she probably feels the same way about me. Like, it's temporary. I'm going home. I'm going back to mom in a little bit. So I don't need to break 100% bad with dad right now. Like, this is, you know, this too shall pass kind of situation. But we had a thing a few weeks ago with PJs. Like, I wanted her to put on her pajamas. Side note, she kills me because she says pajamas, and I don't know where she got that from, because I don't nobody I know say pajamas. I don't think her mother says pajamas. I don't know where she gets the majority of this shit from. But anyway, I wanted her to put her pajamas on, and she didn't want to do that. And it was another one of those, but I don't want to. She thought, you know, PJs equates going to sleep. And really, I just wanted to wash what she was wearing, so I just wanted her to change. Like, put your pajamas on so I could put that in the washing machine. And it got down to the point where, again, I thought her whole argument was just funny. It's cute almost, because I don't get to be around it. So to see that little personality coming out of her is cool to me. So it just got to the point where I stopped responding to her. And the only words I would say to her was PJs. I wouldn't play a game. I wouldn't answer questions. You know, if she called me for anything, I wasn't looking at what she wanted me to look at. Dad, you got to see this, PJs. Like, that's where we were. And so she eventually caved in. And then she told me, like, she came to me later on in her room, and she's like, when I was mad at you, I wrote a sign, and I don't want to tell you what I put on it. I'm like, obviously you do, or you wouldn't have brought it up, but I'll play the game. Like, come on, you can tell me, everything's cool. Basically, she wrote a sign where she told me to get out. And again, because I don't have to deal with it on a daily basis, I only have her, you know, 4 days typically out the month. I don't have to take that to heart. So I laughed it off, and I was able to give her the whole spiel about how it's okay to be angry. And she did the right thing by like funneling that anger into something creative. And I mean, at least she knew better than to say it to me. And she knew that the feeling was wrong. Like, you know, even the way she approached me to talk about it was like, I want to tell you because it's kind of cool, but I don't want to tell you because I know, like, I ain't supposed to do that kind of thing. But yeah, I know if I had her like consistently, it'd been a much different reaction. I can only imagine, like, if my mom would have found a balled up sign where I told her to get out, even if I never mentioned it to her, and I balled it up, like I did it, but threw it away, she still would have went off. Like, you think I'd buy a house? Because, you know, for me, if it was just me, I wouldn't need a house. All I do for you, you gonna tell me to get out? You know, I can hear the speech already in my head. So I guess there's some benefits to this part-time parenting situation. I'm not a fan of it, but, you know, silver linings. It's what you got to do. Let's see. In other grown-up news, I got out the house this week. I did. I'm trying to do that more. I'm trying to, like, get out and be social and I don't know, do cool shit, you know, even though, you know, a lot of it I had to do by myself. But It's like, you know, I don't know if how that sounds to anybody else, but it's just new for me. It's new for me, like doing all this stuff by myself. And I did a lot of stuff by myself before, but it's because I wasn't sober. And it's easy to make friends when you're drinking. Like, it's just, it happens without you wanting it to happen. Like, against your will, you make friends. But now, I went out this week. It's South by Southwest here in Austin. Probably by the time you hear this or see this, it'll be over. But for those of you who don't know, South by Southwest is a big music, art, film festival. I think they do some tech stuff here too. It's a big fest here in Austin. And this is probably, I think they did it last year in person. But, you know, I think this year was probably the first year in a while where it's like normal. It's typical kind of thing. And so I don't really do it because I think I did it once when I first got here. I went to one show and it was really dope. I think I saw like Questlove and Jazzy Jeff DJ. And I want to say like Erykah Badu performed. De La Soul may have been there too. It was real cool. I mean, definitely a cool event. This time, the one event I chose to do was I went to go see Talib Kweli do a DJ set at the same spot I went to a couple weeks ago. And it was super dope. It was a soul and a horn event. So it was like live brass backing up the DJs. Like, they were playing DJ tracks that had horns in them. And then like a whole horn section would come out and like play along to the track and then do some improvisation and everything. It was super dope. Like hearing Annie Up with live brass and then they like just doing their own thing. Like, that's crazy. I thought Just Blaze was going to be there, but either I missed him or he didn't show. I don't know. But again, I'm trying to get out and do things. I'm just old, man. I hate to keep like saying that, but every time I try to do one of these things, like, my age and my body just keeps telling me like, this is why you don't do that. So, like, this may not be for you. Like, you got to adjust. Like, for this show, I bought the tickets. The tickets say 8, right? I get to the venue at 8, trying to be on time. I wasn't even there on time. It might have been like 8:05, you know. But I get to the venue at 8. When I get there, they tell me doors don't open till 9. So now I got to wait around for an hour. I call my mom, because that's what I do. So me and my mom talked for a while. And then I got in line at 9. Doors didn't actually open until 10. I don't even know when the first DJ went on, but already I've been on my feet for 2 hours before shit even started. So you kind of see, you know, where this is going. And it was going for me. But it was normal to everybody else. I didn't see anybody else like upset that they had been like standing or waiting around for 2 hours for a show to start. I think they had probably been at shows all day, walking and standing. And like, this might have been, I don't even think that was the end of their night with this thing. I've definitely turned into like the old guy, like, these kids are on my lawn type of thing, because I was irritated because of that. Then I felt like the music was too loud, like my ears were ringing, shit was making my teeth hurt. Like, but I was having fun. I really was. I had a few Red Bulls. That's my thing. Caffeine is like my alcohol replacement. Hold on. I had a few Red Bulls, one of which I got for free. I don't know if the bartender, like, I don't know if Red Bull was sponsoring anything. I don't think so, because I paid for one of them. I don't know if the bartender just didn't feel like ringing me up, because all she had to do was crack open the can. She was irritated and she was busy, whatever. She just gave me the, like, you know, get out of here before I change my mind face. So I took my Red Bull and that dip. So thank you for that, bartender. But damn, man, it was, I don't know. The party went on to like 3 a.m. And so, yeah, like, that was my goal. I set out to prove to myself that I could hang, that I could do this thing till like 3 a.m. And I almost did. Luckily, they had like benches outside. So it was an inside event, but they had like benches outside, so I could step out, take a break, sit, give my back a rest, you know, recharge. At one point, they was playing house music, which is not necessarily my thing. So I kind of set out the house music portion of the event and then went back in. While I was out there, pretty dope. I was sitting like on a bench, like directly across, like very close to Nico Iz, who is one of Talib's artists. I think it's really dope that they come out and they do these small venues. It's the second time I've seen them at this particular place. There was more people there this time around, but still like less than 200, you know. And the fact that they come out and they do these small venues, and then he just like hung out outside. I ain't say nothing to him because some girl was like talking his ear off. And then my toxic masculinity doesn't allow me to fan out and shit like that. So no pictures or nothing. But I was like having a fan moment. I'm like, shit, he's right there. Like, Sneeko is fucking dope. Almost tweeted it, but I was like, nah, that's gay. But no diss. But yeah, good night. I made it to 2:30 before I peaced out. It was my back. My back peaced out first. Like, my heart was in it, but the flesh was weak. I couldn't do it. I was waiting on outside for my Uber, and like the way I was like bent over and trying to like lean up against, well, somebody probably thought I was drunk and sick, but no, I was old. My back hurt. Like, I was ready to go home. Man. At one point, so before I left, some white girl like tapped me on the shoulder, and she told me I didn't look happy. She said a bunch of stuff other than that. My ears are ringing, so it just sounded like yada, yada, yada. Are you okay? Smile. And so I smiled. I guess people just don't know what, you know, they don't recognize my I'm having the time of my life face. If you don't know what it looks like, this is my happy face. For those of you listening to this that you can't see, I'm having the time of my life right now, and it's written all over my face. This is what you get. Time of my life. People don't recognize my, I'm serious all the time. And even in those moments, I'm serious. I really need to like stop wearing hoodies and take my hands out of my pockets, because I'm pretty sure people think I'm like casing the joint, or I'm going to shoot the club up or something, or, you know, whatever. I look like a ne'er-do-well. Look like I'm not. Nothing positive can come out of my presence. But she took it upon herself to, like, check on me. You don't look happy. Are you having a good time? You should smile. Okay, all right. You could have stayed over there. I appreciate you, lady, for checking on me. Nobody else did. You was a real one. But anyway. All in all, it was a good night. And I can say that I didn't spend the entire South by in the house. I got out and I did something. So, shouts to me. On the ride home, I was just chilling. My ears were ringing. I could barely hear anything. And I happened upon the Trevor Noah clip, him discussing like the Kim Kardashian situation. And luckily enough, it had subtitles so that I could understand what he was saying, because I couldn't hear shit at that point. I've been on this. I don't give energy to bullshit. I don't feed energy into stuff that I don't like. And, you know, there's definitely a he who shall not be named kind of situation with me right now. But I want to say this, and I'm going to try to look at the camera as much as I can, but I'm reading a little bit too, because I wrote this down. Mental illness is real, people. It's real. And I read a statistic once that like 75% of the population at any given time is dealing with some form of mental illness, whether, you know, diagnosed or not. I know I suffer with some shit, and what I've had to come to terms with for myself, it's just a really simple concept, is that mental illness does not excuse bad behavior. It doesn't absolve you of consequences, especially when you're an adult and you know, like when you're grown and you've gotten past the point of not knowing if you're crazy or not. And crazy is the wrong word, but, you know, I'm talking about myself. When you've gotten past the point of like not knowing if, you know, you have an issue or not, when things have gotten bad enough and enough shit has hit the fan that you actually went and sought out some help or sought out someone to help you, you know, figure out what was happening with you. Now that you know, you can't spaz out and be like, oh, my bad, I was off my meds. You know, like now you have the responsibility of managing it or doing your best to manage it so that you don't, you know, have those spaz out moments, so that you don't negatively impact other people because of what's going on with you, because you know what it is and you know why it is and you know how and you know what you can do about it. I don't know. And I think, like, for those of us, for those of you on the outside looking in, mental illness is not a reason to, like, look past strange behavior. It's not a reason to okay it, or not even okay it or condone it, but just to not deal with it, not address it. Like, just because someone is dealing with something, again, especially when they know, but if they don't know, it's a reason to encourage them to go identify or find out. And if they do know, it's a reason to encourage them to seek some help or do the work or get it, you know, participate in their own mental wellness, not just sit in your disease, you know, for lack of a better word. So yeah, mental illness isn't an excuse, and neither is genius. I have this theory, right? I have this theory that, you know, we all made out of the same stuff, and we all made out of the same amount of stuff. And, you know, how it's distributed, it is just different within each of us. And so you, if you have a lot over here, you may not have as much over there. And, you know, you may be able to solve a Rubik's Cube in six seconds, you know, naturally. But emotional intelligence and, you know, and being social is something that you have to study and work on, you know. But that's just how it works. Like, most people don't have a lot across the board. Like, you know, you may be well balanced and you got a little bit everywhere, or you may be heavy over here. Like, you a savant in this area, but you don't understand this at all. And but that's kind of stuff, it can be overcome. Like, you can put the work in to deal with the areas where you don't have as much natural talent. You know, you could compensate for those things. So just because I think that people who are genius, who have these super talents, that means a lot was pushed in one direction, and then maybe they don't have as much natural ability in other spaces, and those spaces require work. And a lot of time it seems to be social and emotional stuff. I think the windows that allow people to see the world differently, you know, differently enough that they make the art that you find compelling and that you find beautiful and that you respond to. They also see the world differently enough that sometimes they see things you don't understand or see things that aren't true, that their perception can be skewed, and they're reacting to that perception in a way that just ain't always cool. And I think just if you know, you know, you have a responsibility to do something about it. You can't just come on TV and tell people that you deal with these things as if that's the reason why I say crazy shit every once in a while. That's the reason why I do these things that are nonsensical, because I may or may not be on my meds, or I may or may not be having a moment. It's like, if you know, then instead of making excuses for the behavior, try to change the behavior that you need excuses for. That's your role as adults. And then I also see a lot of posts because of all of this, because of I think the amount of people who seem to be trying to use mental illness as an excuse for their bad behavior. I see people that are fed up with it. I saw a post the other day that was like, anxiety is not a mental illness. Anxiety is a natural human response to stress, you know. All of us deal with it, you know, kind of like a get over it thing. And to that post, I just want to say, you're right. Anxiety is a natural human response to stress. Anxiety disorder is not a natural. I mean, it is a natural thing, but it's not a normal human response to stress. It is a completely different animal. And I give you an example, because this is something I go through all the time. That's crazy as shit. Drives me nuts. Have you ever panicked because you can't remember what it is you're supposed to be afraid of? Like, let that sink in. Like, I do this all the time where I'm like, shit, I feel like I should be worried about something, but I don't remember what I'm supposed to be worried about. And now, like, it could happen at any moment, and I'm not anticipating it because I can't remember what it is. And 9 times out of 10, it's nothing, which is even worse because that means I'm never coming out of panic mode, because I'm going to sit here and think and think and think and try to figure out what it is I'm forgetting that I'm supposed to be worried about, and there ain't shit to remember. So I'm just stuck in panic mode. Or I do eventually remember what it is I'm supposed to be worried about. I have that temporary relief of, oh man, whew, I figured it out. And now I got to go be worried about the thing that I finally remembered I should be worried about. Like, it's a lose-lose. So I spent a lot of time, you know, with myself, just like, dude, everything's okay. Everything's okay. Relax, chill. Life is good. Life is good. If you can't remember it, fuck it. You know, when it happens, we'll deal with it. You know, you can't, it's probably something that you can't prevent. It's probably something, you know, you're probably afraid of something that's not going to happen, even if it is a possibility. You know, a lot of my fears are things that I think might happen that are just never going to happen. But I spent a lot of time being afraid of them and feeling anxiety because of it. And it is nerve wracking. It is, it'll drive you crazy. Like I'm saying, like, being scared that you forgot what you're supposed to be scared of, it's fucking nuts. But there are people out there that deal with it and deal with it every day. It's a real thing. But again, it's not an excuse to do something crazy. I know. So I know that I need to be doing things to manage and mitigate it. I know when it happens, when I'm in those moments, I've learned to recognize it and be able to kind of, you know, talk myself down as much as possible. Sometimes you just got to live with a fucked up feeling until it goes away. But, you know, no more finding excuses for my behavior. I'm trying to change the behavior. I needed excuses before. That makes sense to me. I don't know. Just my thoughts. But with that said, that's all I got for this week. I hate to do the pulpit thing. I needed to talk about that because there's been so much discussion about, you know, people and their mind states. And I see people doing the mental gymnastics to make other people's behavior make sense or to justify it. And that ain't your job. Like, and you're not helping. You know, you're not helping. I don't know. I'm not judging. This is just me. But usual calls to action. My man, Zaya Fitness, if you need to get your nutrition or your fitness goals, you're trying to get yourself together, get the mind and body working in sync, holler at him at livealphafitness.com. That's livealphafitness.com. He can get you where you need to be in terms of your fitness goals and your nutrition. Good dude. I always got merch for sale. I'm still doing hoodie season. It was like in the 40s when I left that show the other night. So you can still rock a hoodie. So coupon code hoodie season, HOODIESZN, will get you 20% off your entire order at whatistws.com. And right now that's for like outerwear, cold weather stuff. It includes mugs, anything that has to deal with hoodie season, mugs, blankets, hoodies, long sleeve shirts, all that. The summer of the algorithm is coming around, so be prepared for that. Get the shirts. I got my fuck it though. Sometimes it's how you gotta feel, man. You know, shit happens. Fuck it though. But yeah, help me. I was looking at some houses the other day in near where I worked, and I was talking to my boy, and I was telling him where I was at, and he's like, "Oh, them joints probably like 300K or something like that." And I'm like, "All right, that's doable. That's doable. You know, I really like these houses." And went and looked them up on Zillow, and I was ready for, you know, whatever K, but 1.4 million. But I want that. That's, I can't live nowhere else. I want something like that. So help me get help me get ready for 1.4 million. I need that. That's a life goal now. I got something to aspire to. As if I didn't before. Well, with all that said, I appreciate y'all hanging out with me. As always, hopefully there's been something in this for you. It's just good for me to talk. This is how I manage some of my shit. It's just to talk. To no one or to everybody. I don't know. I'm looking at the camera, ain't nobody there, but I know you're there. See how crazy I am? It's not an excuse. Until we speak again, be safe, be easy, and be the light. And know this if you know nothing else. I love you. Holla.